Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Show. I'm your host, Scott Shipper, coming to you from the Broadcast World Headquarters in beautiful San Francisco, California. The Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility from Echo S10. Check them out at micromat.com. DVD XDV, the leading software in MPEG-2 to QuickTime conversion. So if you have a DVD and you want to pull content off it and stick it into iMovie, Final Cut Pro, DVD Studio Pro, whatever, all you have to do is get this, www.dvdxdv.com. MCE Technologies, the place for SuperDrive upgrades for a PowerBook, G3, G4, you name it, these cats got it. They're also an Apple authorized reseller. Great deals on PowerBooks, mcetech.com. MCE, cool stuff. And our media partners, we have NAP, the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, at photoshopuser.com. Creative Pro, the place to go for creative tips for the creative mind. Check them out at creativepro.com. Layers Magazine, if it's got a layer in it, i.e. anything Adobe, check it out, layersmagazine.com. Mac Update, the place for software updates, at macupdate.com. The official printer for the Inside Mac Radio Network, printing for less. Great deal, cool stuff, all Heidelberg, full digital, printingforless.com. And Light Panels, the official light source for Inside Mac TV. Check them out at lightpanels.com. And of course, our buddy Philip Hodges' show, The Digital Production Buzz. Philip will be on here later in a few minutes with a nice big roundup of the digital production post-production news for the week. As I said, I'm your host, Scott Shepard. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'd like to say hi to our listeners on KNTS 1220 AM San Francisco and KYCY 1550. We have a great show lineup for everybody today. Next up in the second segment of the first hour, we're going to have Philip Hodges. Philip is the Digital Production Buzzmeister from the Digital Production Buzz Show. We're going to talk about post-production news, stuff going on during the week. Later in the hour, next, we're going to have Andrew Shallett. Andrew is one of the authors for Inside Mac Press, and he's got a brand new book out called Mac Design Out of the Box. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a design tip for you today, so we're going to have that. Then after that, we're going to have Jim Bradley. He is the CEO of Keynote Pro. They've come out with some brand new additions for the fifth generation iPod, so you can make a Keynote. But these are special templates that are made for displaying on the fifth generation iPod. So this thing turns your iPod video into like the ultimate pitch tool in the elevator. You can make a presentation up, put it on the fifth generation iPod, boom, go with that. So we're going to be talking about Jim about those new Keynote Pro templates for the fifth generation iPod. After Jim, we're going to have Stephen Kaliski. Stephen is the group product manager for After Effects from Adobe. We're going to talk about After Effects 7 Professional. This is brand new. Not even shipping yet, just announced here, the brand new After Effects. So if you're doing compositing, motion graphics, all the stuff you see in films, a lot of this stuff's done in After Effects. We're going to have Steven on talking about the cool new things with After Effects 7.0. Then, in our second hour, we're going to have little Sammy Levin calling in from his remote Tibetan location, him and his dog Spot, talking about cool Mac picks. Sam's going to go over his CES Macworld Roundup for 2006. So, of course, as we all know, we had the Consumer Electronics Show a few weeks ago in Las Vegas. That was huge. 1 million square foot, 135,000 attendees with pretty much, if it had electricity running through it and it was something you could buy at an electronics retailer, it was there. We saw Hello Kitty goodies. They have toasters there. They have curling irons there. They have 100-inch plasma screens. You name it. If it has electricity running through it and you think it's cool, it's definitely there. So Sam's going to talk about some things that he saw at CES and then, of course, his little review of Macworld and what he thought was cool there. After that, coming to you live from a trade show in Austin, Texas, we're going to have Doug Murdoch on. Doug is the CEO of Think Tank Photo. They have a new bag out that's called their Airport Security Bag. And this is for like photographers or video guys that need to carry a lot of gear with them. So that's going to be great stuff there. After that, we're going to have the guys from Talking Panda. And then, of course, our featured guest for the second hour, Dan Steinhardt from Epson USA. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show brought to you by Micromat Makers of Tech Tool Pro 4 and Podlock. Check them out at micromat.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges. Philip is the Digital Production Buzzmeister, the host of the Digital Production Buzz Show, digitalproductionbuzz.com. He's joining us today to talk about the cool post-production and production news of the week. How you doing, mate?
I'm terrific. Big news from Adobe this week in the production area. They released their Adobe Production Suite, and we were lucky enough to have Senior Product Group Product Manager Steve Kaliski on the show on Thursday night talking about all of the great new features in After Effects 7, which, of course, is available on the Macintosh, and the rest of the products which are only available on PC. Boo hiss.
Yeah, well, you know, that's okay. Because that stuff's usable in other apps. You can, you can find other things that do the same thing.
Yeah. Do you ever get platform envy though?
I do over a couple products, and one of them is from Serious Magic.
Oh yeah, Ultra. I've got a little platform envy over some of the editing products. Every time I look at one of the other competing products, I find something that I just like. Oh, that'd be so cool to have, like Avid Liquid's render in background, so you never actually have to bother about specifically rendering or stopping working while you render. It just goes in the background. And there's a really cool one in Premiere Pro. We're going to talk about the features that we can use on Mac, but Clip Notes, this is such a cool idea, and Apple should just grab onto this and add it into the next version of Final Cut Pro, because you can go from your Final Cut, if you're a Premiere Pro timeline, they export a Clip Note, and it sends the video in a PDF out to somebody for review. In a regular version of Acrobat, they can put their notes back in and send it back and drop it back in the timeline, and the notes appear as markers. That is just so slick and so cool.
That is nice, and I'm surprised no one makes a plugin. There's no plugin or no third-party thing for Final Cut that you can do this on with a Mac?
Not as far as I know, and I usually try and keep abreast of what's happening.
You had Steven on Thursday, or you're going to have him on this Thursday?
And we had him on last Thursday. Okay. We talked about the new features in Adobe After Effects 7, including a brand new interface that makes things a whole lot easier to use. They put it all in one window instead of having all those separate windows where you could see through and where you're forever organizing the background. And there's a cool feature with the tilde key. You can be over any of the windows. You hit the tilde key and it goes up, fills the full screen while you're working on it. Then you hit the tilde key again and it drops back. The tilde key, for those who have never heard of it before, is that funny squiggly line at the back of the top left of your keyboard.
Yes, the tilde, right?
Yeah, the tilde. Yep. I'm foreign, so I call it tilde, but you know how to speak American. I don't.
Hey, so what else is going in the world of post-production?
Well, bundles are big. I mean, Adobe, of course, did their production studio on the PC, but the big news was that Apple have stopped selling the individual applications on the Macintosh.
Yeah, now, but then I heard though that they're actually going to lower the upgrade price, I guess.
Oh yeah. If you want the bargain of the century, jump on out to CompUSA or somebody this weekend and maybe grab yourself a copy of Motion 2.0. Apple have recalled all of the individual apps from their retailers, but you may just find one, because if you've got one of the current applications, you can upgrade to the whole studio for $199.
Now, here's a question for you, Philip.
Yeah.
So let's say, here's one for you that's even better. What if you have Motion and you buy just the upgrade to Motion 2, or let's say you had Soundtrack part of the Final Cut 4.5 HD suite? And yep. You paid the $100 to upgrade to Soundtrack Pro. Can you pay the $199 and get the whole suite because you do own, in theory, Soundtrack Pro?
That's my understanding.
Wow. See, that's rocking. That's a smoking deal.
It's like a one-off transitional thing so that nobody feels hard done by when they get left behind, in case they get left behind. And that's to bring everybody up into the suite. You know, I think the reason that they go with this suite is because the apps are so tightly interwoven that if you don't have matching versions of everything, you can end up with problems. So you install them as a suite, it's upgraded as a suite, everything stays at the same parallel level, and I think it's just going to make a lot less support issues. And I think people are just buying the suite anyway.
Yeah, I mean, really, why would you want to have DVD Studio Pro and not have another, why not have Compressor? But, you know, why would you do one without the other? It's sort of like you said, you want everything.
Well, if you've got Final Cut, you're going to have to put it out of DVD at some point in time. You're going to have to edit sound at some point in time. Sometime along the line, you're going to have to actually do some motion graphic design. So you're really going to need all of the tools in the suite, and you might as well get them for the cheapest possible price. And $12.99 for four, really good apps is an amazing price.
It is, because I think if you buy just Photo or the Adobe CS suite, it's like $1,200 or $1,300.
Yeah, yeah.
So any type of Pro App suite, you know, is basically going to cost $1,200. But like you said, you know, what's it cost to buy an upgrade to, or even a copy of Motion 2 is what, $200?
Something like that, yeah.
And so if you bought that, then if you pay another $199, so $400, you got a $1,200 suite.
Exactly.
Legally.
Yeah, it's just not worth not buying the suite. And I mean, it was like that anyway, and I'm sure they looked at their SKUs, their units, and decided that really that they just weren't selling enough of those individual applications. Of course, you know, the sneaky-minded of us, the conspiracy theorists of us would say, well, of course, selling the suite that way kind of hides if any app isn't really performing, the numbers aren't good, well, nobody will ever know because everyone's buying the whole suite.
Yeah, but like you said, you need the suite, you know. You want to have that, you want to have that huge box that weighs 40 pounds, come on.
Oh, God, yeah, I was installing that for somebody yesterday, and it's huge, and it took nearly 2 hours to install all of the suite and the material with it. There's an enormous amount of textures and fonts in LiveType, and there's templates in Motion, and there's all of those loops for soundtrack. It's just an enormous amount of material.
Well, this is what, probably, what, 100 gigs of stuff? I mean, not 100, but what's it got to be, 40 gig, probably everything?
30 or 40 gig, yeah, it's definitely in that round. And, of course, Apple have said that they'll have them on their Intel Macs by March, but they were showing Logic Pro 7 down at NAMM this week, already running on a MacBook Pro under Intel.
Wow.
So the 7.2 release of Logic is going to support that those Intel machines and a few other fancy nice features, including some better integration with GarageBand.
Yeah, that's all nice. So what else did we hear in the world of Post? I mean, last week we talked about the new Kona 3 card, and now I see there's some new Blackmagic stuff, too.
Yep, Blackmagic have released a new drive. Their 5.2 driver just brings everything up to date, and of course, on the Windows side, it brings compatibility with the Adobe Suite, which is their main impetus for that release.
You know, it's so amazing with these guys that do all this really high-end pro stuff. You know, the gal that used to be the press and public relations person for AJ is now working for Blackmagic.
I thought that was amazing, isn't that the way the world goes?
Yeah, but that's cool, though. You know, I guess, you know, it keeps a little family together. It's fun.
And the main rep for the predecessor to Blackmagic, the name just eludes me right now, but he's now working for Blackmagic after a period of separation.
Yeah.
They're representing. And well, next week, this coming week on the Digital Production Bus, we're going to have a live report from Sundance.
Really?
Yeah, Douglas Blush, a friend of mine from one of the email groups, has got a documentary that he edited in competition there, and he's going to, we wish him well with that, but he's going to be talking with us live from Sundance about what's going on at the show.
Yeah, I would like to go on to Sundance, but there's an Adobe conference that starts tomorrow here in San Francisco that I'm obligated to hang out with. It's the Adobe Momentum in Print, so we're going to hang here with the print geeks and do color management and talk about Heidelbergs, and you guys get to talk about Sundance.
I was going to say, you know what, going up to schmooze at Sundance, I think I know what I'd rather do.
Yeah, I hear you, buddy. Hey, Philip, Thursday night, 6 p.m., digitalproductionbuzz.com. That was Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. You can catch Philip here every week on the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, we have Andrew Shallot from Inside Mac Press. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program, coming to you from San Francisco. This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you want to take that great content you have on a DVD and put that puppy over to Final Cut Pro, iMovie, DVD Studio Pro, you name it. If it'll take a QuickTime file, you can do it. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. Right now, we're joined by Andrew Shallot. Andrew is the inaugural author of the Inside Press line of books, published by Peach Pit Publishing. Brand new book called Mac Design Out of the Box. And Andy's got a tip for us today, a design tip. How you doing, Andrew?
Great. How are you doing, Scott?
We're doing good. So what's up, buddy? You got a design tip. You're the king of design out of the box.
Yeah, well, actually, this is less of a design tip. It's more an idea about when you have your designs already done.
Well, you know, it all goes together, though, you know?
Yeah, well, it's all part of the same process. It's true.
So what's on your mind? Tell us about Andrew's hot tip for the week.
Okay, my hot tip for this week. Well, I was at Macworld Expo last week. I was talking to a friend who was asking me about getting maybe an external DVD writer, and he wanted to know what the difference of using the DVD RW, DVD R, DVD Plus, R, DVD Plus, all the things. But when he mentioned the RW, I stopped him. I said, why would you want to use an RW? He says, well, that way you can write again onto the same disc. And I said, you know, I've never, in all of my years working with a computer, I've never used an RW, CD-RW, or DVD-RW, because I never use that kind of media for writing, for, you know, just like a changeable disc. I mean, especially with FireWire drives, even your iPod, you can use as a drive, you know. So, and in my business particularly, I'm thinking, you know, when I'm sending something to someone or I'm burning it to a disc, I'm doing it not really for things to be changed and sent back. I'm doing it as an archive, as
right,
sort of a stamp of what I'm doing that time. So my first advice on that is who cares about DVD RW? I wouldn't spend the money on it. I would just simply go for the flat archival media.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've never, ever, ever used an RW in anything. CD, yeah. DVD, it doesn't matter. Why would you want to rewrite to a disc unless you're, I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
if you want to save a dollar or so.
Those little pen things. I mean, nowadays
the flash drive
cards are big enough that they're as big as certainly a CD.
Hey, we saw these ones, Andy, at Macworld, at CES called MemoBots. And these things are like really crazy. We're going to have the guys in the show. I'll have to send you like a link to it. We'll put it up on the website. But these are like little flash drives that look like little anime, cool, little funky little character dudes. So you can actually have a flash drive now and have some style that goes with it. So I think you would like that because, you know, you're design oriented. You like style. Andy's really into style. Andy drives a new Porsche. Andy's into style. Andy's high maintenance. So this is right up your alley, brother.
But one more point. But okay. My tip, I'm leading to the tip, actually. The tip is even on a simpler level than that, and that is just this. When you're sending files to someone, in the same idea, if I'm sending like a contract to someone or something for them to read, like my resume maybe, or a letter or something, people often just send the raw Word documents, right? I always make it a PDF so they can't mess around with it.
That's a good thing.
And on the Mac, you know, it's a built-in save as PDF. You go to print, you save as PDF, and you can save it. And once again, it's a picture of something that you did that is not really changeable. I mean, unless they want to go to all the trouble of opening up Acrobat Professional and changing it, there's no reason to. So my advice and my tip is really, whenever you're sending files, that you need to say, this is what I did at this time, especially as a designer.
Yeah.
Then you just send, you make it a PDF.
Andy, where do we find out more information about the brand new Mac Design Out of the Box book?
Well, we can find my book on your site. There are links. You can go right to Peach Pit, or you can look, you can go to shalit.com, that's shalat.com, or you can go to Amazon or barnesandnoble.com and look up Mac Design Out of the Box.
Cool. Thanks, buddy. That was Andrew Shalit. You'll two check him out here every week with cool design tips for your Mac. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, Jim Bradley from Keynote Pro. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. Coming from San Francisco, California, this part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you want to put the fastest dual layer smokinest super drive in your Macintosh and your PowerBook and your G3 and your G4, your G5, you name it, they have one that'll fit. Check them out, MCETech.com. Right now we're joined by Jim Bradley. Jim is the CEO of Keynote Pro. These guys make the coolest templates for Keynote, and they have a brand new ones that we want to talk about. These are the EP, the elevator editions. This is the elevator pitch ones. Jim, how you doing?
Great, Scott. How you doing today?
Very well. So tell me, you guys, of course, make, I think, the coolest Keynote backgrounds that I've seen for, templates for Keynote, but you have a new one called the elevator pitch ones. Tell us about these.
Yeah, what the elevator pitch themes are Keynote themes that have been optimized for use on the screen of the fifth-generation iPod with video. The goal here is so that a business presenter could have a backup presentation or something to have in their pocket at the coffee shop, wherever they may need to have a presentation on hand where it'd be inappropriate or, you know, just ineffectual to pull out your notebook computer and sit on your lap and try to show your pitch.
Yeah, but you could do it on these beautiful new iPods, and, I mean, you could even use these for, like, notes. So if you're pitching somebody and you don't want to carry around, like, notes or anything? These Keynote templates, have you shrunk them specially, or is there a special export, or how do you guys do this so it actually looks right on the little screen? Because I know graphics and lower thirds and stuff like that need to be a little bigger to show up right on the screen. How did you guys do this whole layout of the new templates?
Yeah, it's really something we got into right after your own Sam Levin contacted us. He and a few other people got in touch with us about the idea and were asking for recommendations insofar as which one of our themes would be best for use with this. So we started digging into it and really discovered that text was not very readable, etc., on, you know, a standard template. So we, increased the point size, shrunk the design so that they'd work in the title safe area. If you were hooking your iPod up to the television or a projector, etc., you don't want the edges cut off, especially if you've got copy extending to the edge.
Right, so you guys have a title safe area, sort of like if you're working in Final Cut. It's like there's a broadcast standard with TV stuff. You don't want to put it here too far out because an old TV that's got an old wraparound tube, you won't see it.
Exactly.
Same thing with your deal. You make sure it's in a title area, so this way, no matter what TV you plug it into, it looks all good.
Exactly.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Them.
So tell us about how many different ones are there now for the elevator pitch ones, and what do these things cost? And then tell us maybe real quick, because we've got about a minute and a half left, of the other ones you actually offer for the regular full-size Keynote gig.
Oh, okay. Yeah, on the elevator pitch, we've redone three of our more popular themes, and they're $9.95 each. They're really meant to be used sort of alongside one of the full-size themes. And as you were asking on the full-size front, yeah, we've got an entire library for Keynote and starting to build one out for Pages at this point.
Wow, that's very cool. Now, you're going to actually get into the whole Page deal then, too.
Yeah, we've released two of those at this point, and inboxes are overflowing with requests for more at this point. So I think we're going to be diving into that pretty heavily in this coming quarter.
Great stuff. Now tell me, where do I get these? How much does it cost for the elevator pitch ones? And maybe if I want, I know you have some bundle deals too that I actually haven't looked at too close, but tell our listeners what the whole deal is. We want to get into the Keynote elevator pitch editions.
Yeah, the EP editions, again, are $9.95 each. You can get all three of the ones that are currently available in a rollout bundle for $24.95 at this point.
Wow, cool stuff. What's the address? How do we find these things?
KeynotePro.com.
Hey, Jim, thanks for joining us today. We'll have you back more. We want to look at some more of your stuff, and we appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Scott.
That was Jim Bradley. Like he said, Keynote Pro, the elevator pitch editions. This is cool stuff, so if you need to pitch your stuff, check it out. You're listening Inside Mac. Next up, Adobe.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the National Association of Photoshop Professionals. If you want to learn about Photoshop, this is the place to do it. Coming up here in March, Photoshop World in Miami Beach, Florida. Check it out at photoshopuser.com. Right now, we're joined by a friend of mine, Stephen Kaliski. Stephen is the group product manager for Adobe After Effects. Stephen, how you doing?
Well, Scott, how are you?
Great. We haven't had a chance to talk since, I don't know, maybe a little after NAB last year, and you guys just released After Effects 6.5, and we had you on the show. Now you guys have a brand new version again, a whole full .rev.
That's right. Tuesday was a big day for us, not just for After Effects, but for all the video apps at Adobe.
Yeah, you got the stuff rocking. So let's go over a few things here. I know you have a new blog that I want to hit on, but let's talk about After Effects 7. And you guys have done a bunch of stuff. There's been a bunch of UI changes. You know, let's talk about what's the goals for this release and give me some of the new features and things that are going on with After Effects 7.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. We really looked at the changes that are happening in the industry, and we really saw that there was three opportunities in terms of addressing mission-critical needs for our customers. And first and foremost was helping our users be more productive. And when you talk about productivity, that really translates into two things. One is rendering performance. And yeah, I think probably the hallmark feature that really is going to help our customers in terms of rendering performance is our new support for OpenGL 2.0 in terms of accelerating how you're working with After Effects, especially when you're doing 3D compositing or applying typically rendered intensive effects like blurs. And then the second area was in terms of maximizing productivity was in terms of workflow. And After Effects has a brand new redesigned user interface that has a unified UI, but it's fully customizable so that you can organize your palettes and panels in a way that makes sense for what you're doing. And it really eliminates those disruptions to the creative process that users previously used to have by moving your timeline out of the way because it was obscuring your comp window or your effects controls were being obscured. And it really streamlines the whole process of working with inside the app. And if you think about what's the primary thing you do in After Effects, you're always interacting with the user interface. The second area that we focused on was in terms of making sure that we delivered powerful, scalable tools. And that was really, when we look at our After Effects, one of the things that we try and do is make sure that we meet the needs of the most demanding film and video professionals, but for that occasional user who doesn't use it every day but needs to create, four or five projects a year for various needs, they can tap in and create, have the same success using the product as someone who's using it, 60 hours a week. And the two areas that we addressed in that was that After Effects 7 includes, several hundred new templates and presets to allow you to create really cool-looking backgrounds and synthetic elements and show opens without you having to start from scratch. And these will be great for new users. It's great because it's a great starting point. But even for our existing users, they become building blocks where you can build on top of these presets and customize them to make them, something a little bit more personal. And so they're very cool in that way.
Let's touch on one thing real quick because I know there's a bunch of new stuff here too. How would people that haven't used After Effects before, they could sort of refer to this as maybe sort of like layers on a timeline, sort of like Photoshop that's animated?
Yeah, that's actually a good way to look at it. After Effects is really about time-based design. And very much the UI is very similar to Photoshop with the concept of layers, and it's really just Photoshop over time, or a lot of people like to think of it as Photoshop on wheels, but it uses a lot of the same tools in Photoshop. I mean, a pen tool that's just like Photoshop and Illustrator, imports layered Photoshop files, has layers, has blend modes, has a lot of effects that like you'd have in Photoshop, and it's really about taking your still imagery and animating that and incorporating it with video and audio and just creating these really cool effects, show opens, music videos, commercials. I mean, it's just used in a whole range of applications.
Now, you've also added some OpenGL support to the new version, and you've also integrated it now with Bridge. Tell us about that.
Sure. Sure. Well, Bridge, which was a standalone application that ships with the CS2 products, that's used as a file browser, and After Effects 7.0 includes Bridge. And not only does it allow you to do, you know, media management of your still assets, but Bridge now supports video and audio assets, and more importantly for After Effects users is that it becomes a really convenient way to preview all of those presets, because from within Bridge you can see animated previews of what all the presets look like, and there's several hundred of those, and then when you want to use one, you simply double-click on it in Bridge, and the preset instantly is applied in After Effects. And so the integration with Bridge is very tight in terms of how After Effects interacts with Bridge, beyond just all the cool things Bridge does for helping people organize and find their media when they're working on a project.
Okay, let's go ahead on a couple more things here. You guys have added new file support to different things like HDV.
Yeah, exactly. So with this release, a lot of people refer to After Effects as the Rosetta Stone, because you can bring in just about any file format and you can output another file format. So in the area of file formats, we now support HDV natively. We also added in After Effects Pro support for high dynamic range color. So this allows people to work in 32-bit floating point precision, which is something that Photoshop had added in the CS2 release. So this really allows you, when you're working in After Effects, to have your lights and, you know, really behave more realistically, whether you're doing blurring effects or different lighting effects. Additional file format, we now support Camera Raw, EXR, which is a file format that's typically used for 32-bit floating point support. And then for people that are using After Effects in a workflow with Flash and with Flash 8, Flash 8, you know, greatly improved the Flash video export capabilities, and After Effects 7.0 natively exports Flash video as well and has full support for being able to preserve the alpha channel, which is really, you know, a big feature with Flash Video 8, is the fact that you can now have transparency associated with your video, and After Effects is probably the best tool there is out there to create transparency when you're creating Flash video.
Have you integrated any more stuff with people maybe that have been creating stuff in Macromedia and Flash? Do you guys have better export stuff, and is there any other things that are integrated into After Effects 7 that might be of interest to someone that's using Macromedia product?
Well, I think a lot of the features, I mean, a lot of people who are creating Flash animations and rich experiences using the Flash authoring tool already use After Effects, and so a lot of the generic tools that we added into After Effects are very much of interest to Flash users. In terms of integration features, the Flash video export is really the first step in what's going to be a multi-generational effort in terms of integrating After Effects and all the Adobe video products with the Flash authoring, similar to the way that we have extremely tight integration with Photoshop and Illustrator. So we're really excited about that, and we know that our colleagues who are working on the Flash side of things are also really excited about how we can make Flash and the video products, you know, be as popular as they are today for doing film, video, DVD authoring, but also for delivering video and rich media over the internet and other mobile devices.
Yeah, definitely there. Now, Stephen, before we get to your blog, because I want to get to that, what's the cost to do After Effects? Is there an upgrade path from if I had an earlier version, from maybe like version 6, 6.5, even from version 5? Is there a way to get the difference in the two from either standard or professional?
Yeah, let me give you a summary of that. So we make it fairly simple. If you have any version of previous version of After Effects from version 3 on up, and if you want to upgrade from standard version of After Effects to the standard version of 7.0, it's $199. If you have any previous version of After Effects Professional to upgrade to After Effects 7.0, it's $199. If you want to upgrade from the standard version to the professional version, $499. And then in terms of if you're a brand new person who's looking at buying After Effects for the first time, we offer two versions, the standard edition, which gives you the core set of tools for motion graphics and visual effects, $699. And then the pro version, which just gives you the most comprehensive set of tools for motion graphics and visual effects, is available for $999. We support OS 10.3.9, but to take advantage of the new capabilities in OpenGL, you really want to be running 10.4.3.
Now, you have a blog.
I do.
Tell us about it. I got about a minute and a half left here. Tell us about your blog, how we can look at it, and what's going on with that.
My blog went live yesterday. It was pretty exciting. I feel like I'm entering a new age of communications.
And, cool.
And the blog went live yesterday. It's at Adobe, and you're going to see a lot of blogs popping up from the Adobe side. And you can go to blogs.adobe.com/S. Kaliski. And the goal of my blog is really to just, you know, share with the community information that, and knowledge that I have about After Effects and about all the great resources that are out there to help you, you know, use After Effects better and to share tips and tricks and talk about plugins and try not to be too controversial, but also give my perspective on news items as they come up, you know, over the course of time. So it's pretty exciting, and it's already starting to get quite a bit of traffic on it. So I think it could become a full-time job for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, you're the king of After Effects. So
I don't know about the king.
Well, I think so. Hey, Stephen, when's the next place we can see you? When's the next show you guys can be at where we can actually go put our hands on After Effects 7?
Well, if you're in the Utah area, you can go see us out at Sundance. So we have a fairly large sponsorship and presence at Sundance. And then I would recommend that people go to the Adobe website on the main page under events, because we're doing a worldwide roadshow of showing not only After Effects, but all the video apps that we released this week.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that. That was Stephen Kalisky from Adobe.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you create anything, either with Adobe apps, Macromedia, Text Edit, whatever, this is the place to go. This is a community of creative professionals. You can share information. There's forums. There's tips. There's a lot of cool stuff going on there. So if you go over to creativepro.com and check them out, very cool stuff. So that was great. We had Stephen Kalisky, the last deal. They got a great deal going on. They're going to be at Sundance. If anybody gets to go check that stuff out, that I believe started like 2 days ago, like on Thursday. So Sundance started Thursday. I think it runs through all next week. So if you're in the Utah area and want to go check that out, I know our buddies over at AJ have a house there on Main Street that are showing off some cool Apple technologies and the new Kona 3. They're doing some really cool uncompressed 4K uncompressed dual fiber channel link. Just some crazy video stuff, TV, you know, this is film stuff. Check those guys out, and, you know, it's pretty cool. In the next hour here, we're going to have Sam's calling in with his cool Mac picks from CES and Macworld. We're going to have Doug Murdoch on from Think Take Photo. And like we were saying before, these guys make a brand new bag called the Airport Security Bag. So we're going to talk with Doug about, you know, transporting a lot of gear through airports and, you know, a lot of camera gear, video stuff, and why this bag is cool and what's different about it and their thoughts on the whole deal there. We're going to have Jordan Allen Dutton on from Talking Panda. These guys make software that you put onto your iPod that has, like, they make a drink program. It's got, like, all the drinks that you could ever think of. And it gives you the recipes, and they even have video clips. Not video, but there's audio clips that go with it. And it's pretty cool. So you can make Cosmos on the run and, you know, whatever. So you can hit the local store with your iDrink program and mix up stuff. And it's cool. Or if you go to a bar, they don't know what to do, you have something special. They also make software that does translation stuff. So if you want to learn a new language or you need to translate something, it'll play a file for you. It's pretty neat stuff. So those guys can be on from Talking Panda. And then we're going to have Dano Steinhardt, our buddy Dano from Epson America. They're at an imaging conference right now called Imaging USA in Austin, Texas, a place that barbecue rocks. Love Austin. And they're going to be on talking about the Epson Print Academy. This is a very cool gig. Our buddy Vincent Versace sort of like oversees the consumer end of it, talking about how professional photographers use the print deal and how to do black and white. They've added a whole new professional side to the Epson Print Academy this year that has all these really high-end color geeks talking about printing and how to do this. I mean, like Dan Frazier and Jeff Seeley and all kinds of these guys are going to like 14 cities across the U.S. It's only like, I think you can get into Vincent Versace's gig for like $49 in the full pro deal that's aimed towards pros, you know, printing with these big, huge, you know, multi-$1,000 Epson printers. I think it's only $99. Lots of stuff you can pick up on. It's an all-day gig, so it's pretty fun. So we're going to talk to Dan about the whole Print Academy and why they do this kind of stuff and, you know, things you can learn there. So that's cool. A couple items this week I want to touch on. Very interesting. Apple had the largest earnings report ever they've ever made, the largest amount of money. But of course, for some reason, all the fat cats on Wall Street like to sell all the stock off. You know, Apple ran up to, I think, as high as like $86 in the past week. Well, of course, during the post-earnings week, it dropped pretty bad. So Apple closed on Friday at $76.09 or $76.089. It's interesting to see what it's going to do here the rest of the week, if it's going to go any lower or what. Just a little note there, if you're tracking Apple, I'm sure it'll come back very nicely as always. Definitely down after closing. Everybody's taking profit. Here's another story that I thought was pretty interesting is IBM now is going to support Mac OS X with Lotus Notes. So all these guys that are doing all this corporate stuff that has to deal with Lotus Notes in this corporate environment where these guys are running all the big blue stuff, there's going to be support now from IBM for the new Intel-based Macs. Now, how big of a trip is that is? Apple changes over to Intel processors. Now IBM, that used to make the processors and still makes processors for Apple, is going to support the new Intel-based Macs with Intel IBM software. Pretty crazy stuff there. So you're going to have Lotus Notes support on Mac OS X. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back after this fine commercial break. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. I'm your host, Scott Chipper, coming to you from the Q2 World Headquarters in lovely and beautiful San Francisco, California. This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Layers Magazine. Are you working on an application that has a layer in it? Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, Go Live, After Effects. Check it out, www.layersmagazine.com, the place for all things that have layers in it. Definitely cool stuff there. Used to be Mac Design, but now it's Layers, so check those guys out. Lots of cool tips, tricks, information. Part of the whole Scott Kelby and Dave Mosier gig, and our buddy Jim Workman. So check that out, and our buddy Kevin Hagren. So back to what we were talking about earlier, crazy stuff with the IBM gig. Here's another thing that's news this week is Disney is in talks with Pixar to buy Pixar. Sort of interesting there. I wonder if they'll make Steve Jobs the CEO of Disney. Wouldn't that be a trip? Definitely something to look at. I don't know how Disney's animation stuff's been going lately, but they have turned out some of their own movies on their own. But I still think nobody's doing animation like they used to. I mean, go back and watch like Cinderella or one of the old, you know, Disney hand-drawn cartoons, and even the old cartoons you used to see on TV. You know, Wile E. Coyote, Foghorn Leghorn. None of these cats are not the same anymore. You know, the cartoons now are goofy and they're just, I don't know what's up. And they're really violent. Even the old cartoons were sort of sarcastic and sort of obnoxious. It's not the same. It's really weird. So, I don't know. The whole Pixar thing's all 3D sort of sub-realistic. I don't know. I sort of like the old flat hand-drawn cartoons by a bunch of old dudes that were like liquored up and had fun. It was cool cartoons, you know. It was interesting. It was an interesting time. The old Hanna-Barbera stuff. You know how that stuff's gone, but I think it's still out there on the TV, so you can check it out. Another thing here we're talking about is NAMM. The NAMM show was this week. I think it's still going on in Anaheim. And Apple is there running native versions of Logic on MacBook Pros. So this is very interesting. We have Logic Pro 7 that's been tweaked for a universal binary that's running natively on the new Intel-based Macintoshes. So that's interesting stuff. So you can find out more information on what's going on with NAMM. You can go to our buddy site, Peter Kern. Peter is an interesting cat. He's got a website called createdigitalmusic.com. You can find that news on our site, one of our sites, OSXFAQ, your destination that you need to go to daily for all your great Macintosh news information. You can see Peter Kern's news, all the stuff reported from NAMM, cool, great music stuff. And, of course, you can find things there from Mac Update, and of course, the official news source of the Inside Mac radio program, Mac Minute. So all the Stan Flack stuff is up there. So one source, you can hit all that stuff off. Pretty interesting. Another site you might want to check out is Mac Server. These guys are cool, and Lots of news from a lot of sources there, so it's a nice aggregation of all the cool links going on. They got stuff from our buddies over at Mac Observer, of course, Mac Minute. Dennis Sellers' Maximum News is cool. Pretty much, if it's anything happening in the Mac Apple universe, it's over at Mac Surfer. So there's a nice little tip for everybody. If you're looking for some information on the Mac, head on over to MacSurfer.com. Hey, next up here, we're going to have Little Sam 11. Sam's calling in from a remote Tibetan base. I think he's on another one of his walkabouts. No wonder his foot hurts all the time. He's out too much hiking. I don't know. But we're going to go through a roundup of the Consumer Electronics Show in Macworld 2006. Talking about, what Sam thought was cool there. There was a bunch of new stuff. A lot of stuff for the iPod at both shows. There's a lot of stuff at CES about the iPod. And companies that you normally don't see, a lot of Asian companies that are everybody and their sisters making something for the iPod. So that's pretty cool. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. Do you want to get your software updated for your Macintosh fast and efficient? Don't want to trudge through 5 or 6 pages just to get to that download button? Check it out, MacUpdate.com. Right now we're here with little Sammy 11. Sammy's coming to us from a remote Tibetan base. Far, far deep in the Tibetan mountains.
Oh, yeah.
How we doing, little Sammy 11?
Oh, man, real far Tibet. Actually, I'm waylaid here in beautiful, blustery Nevada, which is Marin County, Northern California.
Oh, you're in that deserted Air Force base that's full of toxic waste and nuclear material.
And MPBE runoff, of course.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
That's why we have three-legged frogs running across. But to find those three-legged frogs, we have a lot of cool accessories that attached to the iPod.
Really? No, you, really?
Absolutely.
iPod goodies, Sammy, with iPod stuff? Okay, tell me.
Actually, these guys were at Macworld Expo. I guess we can dart in and out of Macworld and CES because both Scott and I were at CES and Macworld Expo. And Scott, I guess CES was just filled with iPod cases and iPod accessories. I mean, it was a bevy of add-ons. Every Taiwanese company came out of the dark at CES with their, I call it the Me Too product. And it was kind of fun, though, seeing that even big companies, well, bigger companies like Spec Products, as we all know and love, have come out with a number of different tough skin cases for the iPod, for both the Nano and the Video iPod. I love their stuff because it's heavy, heavy duty. So if you need a real heavy-duty silicon case, Spec Products has you covered. They also came out with a new line of products for the Nano called the iKitty. And these are covers for the Nano in black and white that look like cats. And it's I know it sounds kind of stupid, but it's really cute. So if you want to give a gift to someone, this is a perfect little gift if they have a Nano.
It was a trip. I mean, it is sort of lame, but, you know, really, if it's sitting on your desk, it's sort of cool, I guess. I don't know.
I like it, Scott. I know some people say, oh, well, that's kind of dumb. But on the other hand, I like stuff like that because it personalizes your experience. So it's not just a computer. It's kind of sits there on the desk and looks at you, and you can bend the tail. Anyway, it's called the iKitty. It's from Spec Products. Just go to specproducts.com. Check out their full line of tough skin cases, their iKitty. They make an iGuy. And they came out with a whole new line of accessories, FM actually a power charger, AC charger for the car, for your iPod. Works with all 4G, 5G iPods. They're leather wrapped, so they're actually taking it to the next level. So instead of just a piece of plastic, they've wrapped it with leather, so it looks like it would fit really well with your Porsche or BMW or whatever it is that you're driving.
Oh, that would go perfect with, yeah, we know a couple guys with Porsches.
Yeah, not me, but anyway, so there are a number of cool companies there. Macworld Expo, as we all know, Inside Mac Radio and Inside Mac TV was there on hand to look at all the cool new stuff. And there are a few companies that really stood out. Of course, Scott's into the video stuff. I'm into the bling bling, and there was a company there called MyView. That's M-Y-V-U. If you go to MyView.com, check out these optical goggles. They plug in to the iPod video, only the iPod video. It comes with a battery pack. It lasts 6 hours, $269, and you can watch movies on these goggles, and it looks like it as if you're in front of a TV.
Now, did you actually put them on and look for them? Did you play with them?
I did. I put them on.
Was it in focus? Because I'm thinking, you know, people that wear glasses and stuff like that, if you can't see something that's like an inch in front of your face without taking your glasses off,
right?
How are you going to focus on the screen? It's going to give you like these bad headaches or something.
Great question, because I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do about people with glasses, because I don't know if they accommodate for that. But I love the idea of wearing these, because you have your own personal little theater. They come with earbuds, so you plug these earbuds in. They kind of look like Griffin's ear thumbs. They plug in. They're very thin glasses. They don't look all big and funky, and they're not that expensive. It comes with its own little case that the iPod fits into and a battery pack. It's called MyView. It's available probably in the next, I think about 3 to 4 weeks, and I'm excited about it. It's kind of new and unique. Also, there were a couple companies showing little blinking flashlights for the iPod. As you know, Griffin.
Yeah, what was up with that deal? I mean, Griffin used to have something for the top, but I've seen things that you actually had one.
I had one.
What's the use of it? Nothing?
Well, Griffin came out with the iBeam, which was using the 9-pin connector on the top of the iPod. Apple got rid of that. Now it's dot connector only. Two new companies came out with their products, and I actually found one that was not at Macworld. One was at Macworld called Blinkit, as if Blink, B-L-I-N-K, it.com. They're out of Los Gatos. It's a flashing docking light that not only flashes but beats to the music and flashes multiple different types of flashes, so that if you want a strobe flash, if you're carrying your Nano or your 5G video iPod at night, you can use it. I think it's pretty cool. Plus, it comes with different covers. And that's one company that is doing this flashlight, strobe light, and blinks to the music. I think it only blinks to the music with the... actually, it does work with both Nano and 5G.
It's a rave thing, huh? Something like a rave party treat, huh?
Exactly.
There you go. That's cool, though. Hey, you know, that's hey, you got to cater to everybody, brother.
Yeah. The other company that's come out with this light is called Lumi. And it's L-U-M-I. If you go to lumi-ventures.com, they've come out with the Lumi safety flasher and flashlight. And this is really nice. It's black or white. It works with both the video and Nano. It's $24.95. And it's really, really well done. It's rounded. I have one for you, Scott. It's pretty nice. Just spoke with the guys. I think this thing, they've done the best job. It's very similar to Blinkit, but the form is very, very different. Check it out at Lumi-Ventures. It'll be available in the next 2 to 4 weeks from J&R, PC, Mac Mall, and it flashes in 7 different flashes. And I think for anyone that's a runner, a hiker, or even biking, hey, they can use their iPod now as a flashlight. Our friends at Power Support came out with Crystal Film, a 3D cover for both the Nano and video iPod. That's very, very useful for all the people that are worried about scratching their iPods. This is a very, very thin film that covers the front and back of the iPod. You cannot even tell that this film covers it.
You know something? You know what I found out, Sammy, that was pretty interesting?
What?
Take a new iPod, take it out of the box, and drop it in the parking lot. and then you'll never worry about scratching again. You won't matter. You'll use it, and you'll be happy.
It's like your first ding from your car.
Dude, I had an Airport Express since it came out, and it was pristine, okay? And I dropped it in the parking lot to put dents in it.
Right.
Now it's like I don't put it in this little bag anymore. I just throw it.
It doesn't matter. Hey, I'm a case guy. And lastly, our friends at iSkin came out with the Evo 3. This is a cool iSkin. Check it out at iSkin.com for the new 5G.
Cool. Thanks, Sammy. That was Sam Levin and his Cool Mac picks. You can find out more information at InsideMacRadio.com. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business. Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzz show of Philip Hodgetts. You can check Philip's show out on Thursday evening, 6 p.m. live from beautiful Reseda, California. www.digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now we have on Doug Murdoch. Doug is calling us from Imaging USA, live from Austin, Texas. We're going to talk to Doug about, they have a brand new bag out. Think Tank makes cool stuff for digital photographers, but we're going to talk about the airport security bag. How you doing, Doug?
Hey, doing great.
So how's the show in Austin?
That's awesome. We're just setting up and finished setting up. Got some Texas barbecue, so we're all set for tomorrow.
I love barbecue in Austin. There's a place downtown by the river that used to be like an old horseshoe and ironworks place. And just unbelievable barbecue.
Yeah, it's a cool town.
It is a cool town. And it's not that, the weather's nice right now, too.
Yeah, it's actually a little bit cool, but not raining, which is good.
Last time we were in Austin was like unbelievable. But you guys make very cool bags for digital photographers, but you have a new thing called Airport Security. Tell me about this and why this differs from a normal Raleigh bag.
Well, the biggest difference is that people who carry imaging equipment,
yep,
they basically don't want to check it when they get on the plane. And it's a huge issue, you know, because you have this stuff costs thousands of dollars. I mean, literally, if you're a photographer and you're rolling a piece of luggage, you could have $10,000 to $30,000 in that bag.
Yeah, easy.
And so, of course, you know, these guys are paranoid about being separated with their stuff. And so what we did is we created this carry-on piece of luggage that will hold more than any of the other luggage pieces and still be legal carry-on size. And so it holds big lenses, especially for sports photographers. We have a lot of guys using this. They're going over to the Olympics. It holds the big lenses, and it also has some security features. Like, one of the cool features that people find is that there's a secret pocket in the back, and when you flip it open, there's this cable that comes out that's like 4 feet long. So you can actually take it out and you can cable it to a leg of a table or something and you can actually lock it.
Yeah, I noticed the cable in the picture. It's like, I guess you can cable it to your ankle or you can hook it to a to a table, you know, at the bar,
yeah,
at the airport. Cause you know.
Yeah, like if you're in the bathroom, you know, you can lock it to your ankle.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a great thing there. I mean, this thing is definitely a cool case. It's got really cool looking wheels on it, too.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of these guys, you end up situations where you have to leave your bag sometimes. Like if you're, you have to leave it in the media room, you know, depending on what kind of photographer you are, you have to leave your bag. And so even if it's in your hotel room, you know, you can lock it in the closet because there's just such a huge amount of money that's on the inside of the bag. I mean, we've got the lock that comes out, but then we've also got locks for the main zippers also so that you can actually lock the zippers in, you know, position.
Yeah, that's a great deal there. I mean, now tell me about what was the whole thought of this bag? Did you guys come up with this thing because you were, you know, hauling your own gear around? Or what was the thoughts when you designed this bag in regards to, you know, traveling through airports with all your stuff?
What it was is we started our company about a year ago, and two of the founders worked for the San Francisco Chronicle for photographers. They are photographers. And as soon as we launched, one of our friends, Brad Manchin, who's a Sports Illustrated freelancer, basically said, "You guys need to make a roller." You know, he said, this is one of the biggest issues, you know, facing photographers today is traveling through the airport and carrying these big lenses to sporting events. And so basically it took us a year, and we just launched it last week.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, tell me real quick, I have about a minute left here, because we're going to have you back later here and some other stuff we're cooking up here, but tell me about the rest of the products you guys make, because you have some pretty innovative different bags and protective devices for a photographer.
Right, we have a modular system, which allows you to put the lenses on a belt system, and what's really cool about that is that the pieces actually slide on the belt, which makes a huge, huge difference in terms of the comfort of wearing this stuff over a period of time, because, of course, it's heavy. So we got the modular system, we got belt packs, we've got stuff for tripods, we've got a cool tripod case called the Bazooka because it expands. We've got all sorts of products for, not only professional photographers, but anyone who's interested in digital, SLR photography.
Cool. Hey, I hope you guys enjoy the show. Things go well. We're going to have you back here soon because you have so much stuff to talk about. It's great. I appreciate it, Doug. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Scott.
That was Doug Murdoch from Think Tank Photo. You can go to their website at thinktankphoto.com. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity.
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the official print company of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less. If you want printing done on real printers, these are Heidelberg real offset printing machines. Cool stuff, fast turnaround, great deals. Check them out, printingforless.com. Right now we're joined by Jordan Allen Dutton. He is from Talking Panda. They make some very cool software that does a lot of neat things with your iPod. They have iLingo and some of the stuff. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing great.
So tell us, you guys make some pretty cool products here for the iPod, and you guys started out with iLingo. Tell us about that and some of the other stuff you guys are making now.
Sure, absolutely. Well, our motto is iPod is more than music. So we've been experimenting and creating awesome applications. iLingo, for example, is a talking foreign language phrase book. You can utilize your iPod. Let's say you go to France, you bring an iLingo talking translator with you. It's a phrase book, operates like a Berlitz phrase book. You look up a phrase, for example, in the making friends section, nice to meet you, and then you press play and hear the phrase spoken aloud. So it's utilizing the audio of the iPod. It's using the interface. It's easily searchable, so it offers a lot more than just a typical handheld phrase book. So that's an example of what iLingo does. Available in the Euro pack and the Asia pack to cover 6 European languages and 4 Asian languages. It's available in the Apple Store and Circuit City, Best Buy, CompUSA. You can also buy it from our website at talkingpanda.com.
That is pretty neat. I mean, this must have been a ton of work. Now, did you guys have to go through them and do pronunciations on all these words? And, I mean, this must have been a pretty heavy task to put even iLingo together.
Yes, absolutely. We didn't actually license any of our content. We created it all originally, and we spent about a year developing it with 2 different language translation firms. So we started out by researching and finding out what we thought were the best and most essential travel phrases. And then from there, we organized it into what we thought was the most comprehensive user interface. Then we had it translated by 2 different companies to make sure that it was all professionally done and so that there weren't any semantic problems, which actually could be kind of troubling if you're in China and use the wrong word. So then we had it
done by professional voiceover talent. So, for example, our Spanish is done by Fernando Escandon, who is the voice of Telemundo. So it's you're getting the best pronunciation. You're getting stuff that's really fun to listen to. Yeah.
That is cool. So now tell us about iBar.
iBar is a sort of the ultimate bartending tool, we like to call it. It's got over 1,000 cocktail recipes in it, and it focuses on not just your typical sort of screwdrivers, but also it has really comprehensive histories of alcohols, a lot of stuff that borders on fun fiction. So you press play and you hear fun anecdotes about the history of whiskey or the history of vodka. It really can make you an expert on drink making, on mixing, on some professional bartending techniques like muddling, things that people really haven't heard of. It also has lists of ingredients to stock your bar, a measurement guide. It's an all-in-one tool. If you had this and a party, you could, and with your iPod, you'd be set. You've
got all you need is iBar and Tiki Bar TV.
Yep.
And between the two, you're rocking. I mean,
absolutely. Speaking of rocking, I should plug our other application, which has gotten crazy critical acclaim, which is iRocker.
Yeah.
And that's a phrase book for the guitar. It's a picture chord book. So you can look at a picture chord.
TalkingPanda.com, yeah?
www.talkingpanda.com or in the Apple Store.
Cool. That was Jordan Allen Dutton. Check it out, TalkingPanda.com. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. Right now, we're joined by Dan Steinhardt, Dano from Epson America USA, coming to us live again from another guest here from Austin, Texas. How you doing, Dan?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Good. So tell us how things going with the booth setup and all the stuff going on there at Imaging USA.
Well, today is a setup day, and we have an interesting program in the morning, and then we're also a sponsor of the super program on Monday that we're gearing up for with kind of an icon in the industry named Philip Stewart Chairs.
Wow, this is cool. Now tell us, you guys, have the big Epson booth and all the cool printers, the 4800, the 9600, the 76, 7800, all the great stuff. But tell us about, I want to talk about today, the Print Academy. This is a really cool program that you guys put on all over the country. Tell our listeners what the Print Academy is and why you guys actually do this and who's involved with it. I know our buddy Vincent Versace is involved with it and Bruce Frazier and some of these other guys, but tell us about the whole thing and how this all works.
Well, we started the Epson Print Academy in 2002, primarily for advanced amateur photographers who were starting to buy advanced level printers, sometimes professional printers, but they wanted to learn how to make great prints just like the pros do. And that program was so successful that we did a second program, and then we did an online video streaming program called the Online Experience, which is still available at onlineexperience.com. And based on the success of these programs and a lot of, let's use the word pressure from the professional community, we've expanded into our fourth program, where we now have an advanced amateur program we call Track 1 and a new professional program called Track 2. And both programs have all new content. The difference is with the Track 1 program, which is hosted by Vincent Versace, which is an all-day program, or in the past it was a half a day, is a mix of Vincent doing demos and reiterating some of the key points and that are illustrated in videos that we've done with some very leading photographers that advanced amateurs admire. And the Track 2 program, or professional, while it won't be this way in each city, but in several cities, we will have all five live presenters, and these include, as you mentioned, Bruce Frazier, Jeff Shewey, John Paul Caponegro, Greg Gorman, and Mac Holbert. Kind of the, it's the all-star team, and I feel very intimidated when they're all together in one room.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever been to one of Vincent's presentations, but I bet Vincent on a whole day trip alone is worth three or four times what it costs.
Well, and the real treasure is also he'll stay there till midnight answering any kind of questions. Sometimes I have to pick up that bar bill, but it's well worth it. There's a lot of learning that goes on all day.
Yeah, yeah, Vincent's an incredible presenter, and the stuff he does with the photography and the black and white, and he shows people how to use, I guess, they can take your guys' product, and he shows you how to use this in a way that the way the print should look and how to do all these.
The whole premise behind the Epson Print Academy, because some people immediately put up a guard and say, oh, is this a selling thing, is that we look to the leaders in the industry to demonstrate and show people how they do things step by step. And sure, Epson printers are used, but some people are kind of amazed and comment on, gee, you talked a lot about digital capture, you talked a lot about working in Photoshop, and obviously there was printing at the end. But it's all part of the workflow, and it's all part of the system from capture to print. And often the very best prints start with setting up that camera properly. I like to equate it to my golf swing, which is not an advanced amateur status. If you don't start with a good grip, you're never going to hit it down the center of the fairway.
Well, no, I mean, look at your academy, too. I mean, it's brought to you people like Adobe and Lexmar and Nick Multimedia and Light Impressions and Wacom and all these other guys, X-Rite. Mm-hmm. You need these things to go along, because if you don't, basically, if you take a bad image, you're not going to have a nice print.
Exactly, and, you know, there's been some I would say interesting, some would say sad news about certain companies making the news, getting out of the photographic industry. Many of these are names from the past. And someone made a comment to me that the baton has been passed from some of these well-known names of the past, and the new leaders in photography are just the names you mentioned. You'll often hear Adobe and Epson and Lexar and Nick Multimedia, and these kind of companies now define what photography is, and we no longer call it digital photography because it's all digital. It's about learning these new tools. And the one thing we try to stress in the Print Academy, too, is they are tools. Just purchasing any product from any of these manufacturers, including us, is not going to make you a great photographer. You have to learn how to use those tools, but it's ultimately what's inside of you, your creative intent, and you have to drive those tools.
Yeah, I mean, you can go out and get a brand new 4800 and all this cool stuff with three kinds of black ink and the new K3 deal and all this cool stuff, but if you can't take a picture, you might as well just stay home and watch TV.
Well, we often say, because people always come up to us, and they certainly come up to Vincent, and they say, well, tell us about, you know, this extraordinarily expensive spectrophotometer I need to buy, and tell me about, you know, well, why do I need this kind of camera, and should it be at 27 million megapixels, et cetera, et cetera. And Vincent's response is often, the best thing you can do to get a great print is buy a tripod. Because if you have camera movement, no matter what you do, that print's going to be soft.
Yeah, I mean, he is so true. I mean, and myself, I sort of use some obscure gear. I'm using a Sigma SD10 mm-hmm. with a 7200 lens, and, you know, it's a 2.4, and I no tripod, forget it. Just leave it in the case. You know, the small lens, it's fine, but you put something big on there, you want to do something really cool, you got to have a tripod.
In one of our first tutorials in the Track 1 program that Vincent hosts, we go on location with John Shaw, a very well-known nature photographer. American Photographer magazine ranked him as, you know, one of the leaders ever in the business. And I had the fortunate opportunity, it's a very long story we don't have time for, where we went on location in the ancient bristlecone pine forest. These are the oldest living trees in the world, some would say things in the world. But we went there because we knew we'd have good weather, even though it snowed on us. And we have John talking about the scene, setting up the shot, and then later we go into the digital darkroom and he shows you step by step how to make a print all the way through Photoshop into a 2400. But at the very beginning, he says, and he holds up a tripod, if you don't have one of these, you don't have a chance. And it's the very best investment you can make.
And that's with Vincent. He does the same thing, and him and Moose Peterson and a couple of his buddies. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the tripod is like the number one tool.
Yeah, well, you know? Well, I'm not here trying to hawk tripods, but it's the kind of thing that we do in the Print Academy. It's not just about, hey, you should be buying this kind of ink from Epson. It's about the whole process, because we feel very strongly, in almost kind of a zealot way, that as digital photography has become the norm everywhere, from the professional all the way down to the consumer, and there's all these digital cameras out there, what we're finding is, and what the industry is finding, enormous amounts of images are being taken, much more than before. But fewer prints are being made. And ultimately, photography is about the print. That's what you can, as Jay Maisel would say, sell, something that you can show. And I think Jay put it so eloquently, you can build your reputation on, is the print. And you just can't share prints huddled around a monitor or passing around a camera and looking on the LCD.
No, this is true. Now, we have about 2 minutes left here, Dano. give me an idea. What's a good printer for someone that has a digital SLR? They're playing around on the weekends. They're taking pictures of the kids and the family and the flowers in the backyard. Do they need to go to a 4800 or they can use a 2400? What's a good prosumer type digital SLR guy type printer?
Well, I'd love to ask about 30 more questions, but if we're talking about a digital SLR camera, 6 megapixels or higher, a person who is looking at photography more than just a point and push a memory card in and print, and we have printers like that, which are amazing, things like the PictureMate. Then in the Track 1 program, we talk about the 2400, which is a 13-inch with the new Ultrachrome K3 inks. And there are automatic modes you can use with that, and then there are more advanced modes that we teach in the program. It's a very versatile printer, fast printer, and it has all of the archival properties of the K3 inks. A person like that, well, sure, we'd love them to buy a 4800, and it's a very professional model. They'd probably be better served with a stylus Photo 2400.
Now, Dano, is the I got about a minute left here, so I'll ask one little quick question. Is the ink set, this is the same in the 4800 as the 2400, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so basically you're getting the same quality of archival pigmented inks and the new blacks and all that stuff with the smaller version of the 2400.
Yes, the Ultrachrome K3 inks, which are found in the 2400 and then in the Stylus Pro products, the professional products, 4800, 7800, 9800, share the same ink set. And that has tremendous archival properties and great longevity and light fastness, as well as expanded color gamut and D-Max. And they're really the first true ink set, along with the software and the advanced black and white mode to do great black and white imaging. Virtually everybody who is a black and white photographer, not all, but virtually all, are closing, they're letting the light into their dark rooms.
Yeah, this is nice. Now, I want to have you back here soon because I want to talk just about ink next time, because there's so much misunderstanding about ink and pigmented and non-pigmented. Now you guys have this black deal. And I saw some prints at Macworld that came out of a 2400 that were like, I could have swore this was Kodak black and white film photography. I mean, it was incredible. This is stuff that I've seen Versace do that spends, the guy whacks out for hours and hours just to get one print. And these guys were just popping these things out like crazy at Macworld. And it's like,
hey, wow. I'd love to come back and talk about that. And in the interim, really love people to check out the Epson Print Academy at www.epsonprintacademy.com.
Yeah, you guys are going to be here in Miami and Boston, New York City, Chicago, D.C., Seattle, Los Angeles. You'll be here in San Francisco, so we'll come bother you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Minneapolis, and then you guys are also going all the way to Toronto, so that's very cool.
Toronto, and we're soon to announce other Canadian cities, and based on the popularity of our first program in Dallas last week, we'll most likely announce new cities in the fall.
Cool. Hey, Dano, have a great time in Austin. There's great barbecue there, and I want everybody to go to EpsonPrintAcademy.com. You can check that deal out. You can go see our buddy Vince Versace. Thanks, Dano.
Thank you very much.
Cool stuff. Check them out, EpsonPrintAcademy.com.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Inside your life,
business, your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OSXFAQ.com. If you want everything you need to eat about the Macintosh, you want news for Mac Minute, Mac update, software alerts, great digital music, all the cool new updates from Apple on their developer deal, all the things new from the Apple developer knowledge base and the regular consumer knowledge base. If you want the one-stop shop to go to for your Macintosh, go to OSXFAQ.com. You can also get Inside Mac Radio and TV there also, and a subscription link there to iTunes. You can check all that out, OSXFAQ.com. So we had a pretty cool show lined up today. Had some really nice guests. I'll sort of go through a rundown here. But before that, I want to hit on a couple more stories that are looming around the Mac web this week. Couple stories out there about there's a lot of stuff going on now with this whole new Intel gig. It was picked as Gadget of the Week by Macworld UK. A lot of stuff with Rosetta. We've heard some other stories too that this whole thing with Rosetta, that is an emulator that runs in Mac OS X that lets you run PowerPC code, that's the native G3, G4 stuff, that lets you run this in the Intel code set. So it's sort of like an emulator. It takes the code from your programs you have now and sort of like rewrites it and makes it so you can run it on these new Macs that have a Intel chipset. I've heard, you know, through things, and this is not anything official or anything, but it's just interesting little conversation that, you know, they spent years developing Rosetta. They've been working on this stuff for a long time. So it just goes to show that I think this whole change over to the Intel chipset, and they've definitely shown to be that the machines are faster than the G5 deal. Now, another report we got here this week that you know, a buddy of ours did some testing at Apple in their developer program. The quad machine is smoking crazy fast. So, but then you have a machine that's a 4-core processor. You know, it's pretty interesting how all this stuff works out and comes together, and how long these things are in development before you see the stuff run out. Because, you know, you go to Macworld and you say, hey, there's a new Intel deal, and but, you know, behind the scenes, these guys have been working on this stuff for years. So it's pretty cool to see that. So let's go run down to show today. We had Philip Hodges giving a post-production weekly news post from the Digital Production Buzz. We had Andrew Shallet on from Inside Mac Press talking about, you know, the right way to use stuff, maybe do some PDFs and how to back up and not use RW Media. We talked with Jim Bradley. He is the creator of Keynote Pro. They did the elevator pitch edition for the fifth generation iPod, so that was pretty neat. We had our buddy Stephen Kaliski on. Stephen is the group product manager for Adobe After Effects. They got a brand new edition called Adobe After Effects 7.0. There's a regular and a professional version. He's also got a brand new blog where you can go to blogs.adobe.com/S. Kaliski, K-I-L-I-S-K-Y. Cool stuff there. This guy is the king of After Effects. He runs the whole program. So if you want to find out what's going on with this deal, and Steven's got so much great information. They make so many developer plugins for this stuff. You can actually, I don't know if people knew, you could do render farms with After Effects and stick like 8 Macs together, even old ones, and put these plugins in and let them render your After Effects compositing. So this is cool stuff. We had Sam Levin on talking about his cool Mac picks, what he thought was cool at CES and Macworld, a lot of bling and flashy lights for the iPod. So if you've got a big rave party coming up, you want to pick up some flashy blingies for your iPod, that's cool. So you can check that out at InsideMacRadio.com. We had Doug Murdoch on from Think Tank Photo. They got a brand new bag out. It's called Airport Security Bag. Got some very innovative features in it. It's a pretty neat little bag, so we're going to have to look at one and give you a little report back when we actually get to play with it. But so far, this is a great thing. Those guys are at Imaging USA in Austin, Texas, so that was nice for them to call in. We had Jordan Allen Dutton on from Talking Panda, talking about their iLingo, their iBar software, and their iRocker, if you want to learn how to play guitar with your iPod. We just had the king of Epson, Dan Steinhardt from Epson USA, America, talking about the Epson Print Academy. You can go check out him. The guys going over there with Versace and Brazier and all these guys going at that deal. And I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Mac Show, Micromat, MCE Technologies, DVD XDV, the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, Creative Pro, Layers Magazine, Mac Update, the Digital Production Buzz, Printing for Less. You can check all this stuff out at InsideMacRadio.com.